The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Peter King today. I'm going to talk with Peter about the election and also the Cardinals against the Dolphins. Goody is going to be with us. I was just DMing Goody, and he has been going pretty much nonstop. I actually told him, take a shower and get cleaned up so you don't smell and you look good, because he's been working on the election. Obviously, we are in a space today that is unprecedented, and sports is something that we do. It's not who we are, okay? There's a big difference, and I'm not going to sit here and break down the Dolphins and Cardinals too much, because what is going on across the country today with the election and what happened last night in Arizona, and I don't know, if you're one of those that wakes up and says, oh my gosh, the world is coming to an end, the sun came out. And you may be one of those that says, this is the worst thing that can happen to our country. And what I've found through the years of doing this, and I'm in my mid-50s, is the day after the election, we always have people that view it one way, that the world's going to come to an end and we're going to move out of this country and all that stuff that I've heard forever and ever and ever. And some of us just keep doing our thing. Like, I was talking to Iron Man before the show started, Jared Nielsen, chairman of the board. Iron Man is kind of like me, like, wow, here we are hearing the same stuff that we've heard through the years. And I was up late last night, up very early this morning. I am fascinated by all this from a media standpoint. And I will talk with Peter King about that. And then Goody, just about process. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. They are all across the valley. It's where we do our work with Sports 360 AZ. They help us on our financial side. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. They can take care of you. All right. So, you know, the election side of things. Just last night, I don't know about you, but yesterday morning I voted. I gave the staff the day off. I said, you know, there's things that are more important than us sitting here on election day just trying to cram a show together. Let's get back together on Wednesday. Eric is off. He's handling some business. So I don't think he's going to jump in. He might later in the show. I don't know. And so yesterday morning I was up at 4 a.m. doing my work, my process, and then I went at about 5:15, drove a couple miles from my house and went and stood in line. And it put some stuff up on social media, and people were hitting me up saying, I cannot believe you're one of those people that still goes to the polls and stands in line, get caught up with technology, get caught up with early balloting. Why are you doing this? I kind of like the process, okay? There's some things that are comfortable, like old shoes and old pair of jeans. I'm one of those that occasionally I will still get a newspaper and I will open it up very occasionally because I like the feel of it. It's something that I've did in my younger years. In voting through the years, being out at the process and seeing people and hearing everybody in line and what their thoughts are, they weren't even doing the political side of things. It was very organized where I went to. I was probably 30 deep. When I got there at 5:20 and the polls didn't open till 6 a.m. Goody actually was DMing me, saw some stuff I put up on social and just wanted to know how it was going. We'll talk about that. What was interesting was this was at a Mormon temple was the place that I decided to go vote at. It's the nearest to me. And so I went there, and out front of the temple, there was a sign that says vote a key here. Okay, so there's the voting sign. And that was at 5:20. When I pulled out of there at 6:30, nothing but signs all around the temple of people that had just pulled up in their trucks and hammered signs down right across the parking lot from the entrance, like, you know, 20 feet. A guy had set up a card table, and on the card table, he had all of the people of his political party that we should be voting for. It says that you're not allowed to wear party's gear at events. And I agree with that. Let's just walk in here and let's do our business. I don't need to have somebody try to sway me at the very last minute. If you hadn't decided if you hadn't decided by the time you get there, what are we doing here exactly? And so I'd made up my mind quite some time ago of the direction I was going to go on the important parts, the two propositions, and where we were going to go, not just with the president, but some of the other areas. And so for me, I had made my mind up. I walked in there. We social distanced. There was a little bit of an issue of signing in where you had to put your signature. They had to clear the screen a couple times for me. Got a ballot, filled it out, got out of there, walked back around. The line was now completely around the temple. But it was fine. It was fine going through the process. And as the day went along yesterday, I'm a consumer of satellite. I'm not a consumer of traditional AM or FM radio. I just find them to be very much controlled by big companies that have agendas, unfortunately, in this day and age. It's very rare that I can find someone or find voices that I just listen to and say, this person is not going to give me a political leaning one way or the other. I do appreciate that. I think NPR has some of that, and there's people that will say NPR is the most liberal. Oh my gosh, you know what? If you just cut through it and you hear the numbers, the hard numbers, but I know what I'm getting into when I turn on Fox News. I know what I'm getting into when I turn on CNN. I know what I'm getting into when I turn on MSNBC. Thus, I don't, especially on election stuff. But I found myself unplugged all day yesterday from this. I don't know about you, but I just wasn't, we're not going to learn anything in the middle of the day or in the afternoon. And I knew it was going to be a long night, a long slog ahead. And so I just unplugged. I just went and did things other than this, other than media. We didn't put anything up on the site yesterday that was new because nobody's going to be looking at it. Now today, fantasy football is up with Michael Fabiano, and lots of people have already been taking it in and consuming it because, you know, your fantasy team gets going tomorrow. I get it. You voted, it's over with. You don't care one way or the other, or you do. It's just not that big of a deal. So the site's going to start having some content that we've held off of publishing. We'll start putting that back up here as today progresses. But yesterday there was nothing else other than the election. Like, why Major League Baseball decided to do their honors last night? It might be that one of the dumbest moves in the history of the planet. Yeah, did you know that last night MLB did some of their honors? They did an honor show last night. Hey, let's counter-program the election. Okay, this is why your sport is in trouble. This is not a day where you sit here and say, let's go do some things because there's going to be an audience that doesn't care about the election. That just simply isn't the case. And I know you got to fill shows and fill time, and they did. So last night, I was on ABC. I happen to like George Stephanopoulos. That is my guy that I look at and say, you know, he's been in the office, and I don't know which way he's going to go. And I think that ABC does a good job where they have Chris Christie and Rahm Emanuel. And you can see the two of them have their leanings and they have people texting them. It's no different than it. Like if they had Adrian Wojnarowski and Adam Schefter and Peter King as the insiders on the election, it'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Instead of sitting here today waiting for these last votes to come through. And they're important. I'm not downplaying it. But from a sporting point of view, to me, I like insiders. I don't need opinionists. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. Opinionists, I do some opinion on this show. I like doing interviews. I like doing things of tell me something I don't know. An opinionist will just all day long say things like, you know, LeBron James isn't as good as Michael Jordan and he couldn't lick the bottom of his shoes. And it's just absurd because then you go out and you're going to have people that will debate you on that and you will get paid lots and lots of money and that's your business model. Knock yourself out. Will never be me. Never wanted that to be me. Can't handle that. Can't stand that. So I'm not into debate shows. I'm not into opinionist shows unless it's people that I look at and say, you know what, I trust what this person is all about. If Adam Schefter or Peter King or Adrian Wojnarowski do a podcast, chances are very good I'm going to listen to it. Very good I'm going to listen to it. Because I know they're not just guys that are pop guns that sit there and shoot things off and say, well, look at us. Look at all the views and clicks we got. And it's nothing. It's cotton candy. So long rant of it. Last night I'm watching ABC And I felt like it was pretty much down the middle. When it came to the guy that was blowing up the maps and describing each district, I felt like he was hyperventilating for Biden, and Biden's, this is great, and this is awesome, and Trump, like, hey, he's really in trouble here. And so there was that side of it where I was like, okay, are you really being true to your viewers on that, or are you just being a cheerleader? And then when it came to Rahm Emanuel and Chris Christie, both of them were providing insight on both the candidates from internally that I really like. I really felt there was something there. Peter's going to join us here in a bit, Peter King. And Peter, of course, long time respected journalist and covers the NFL inside and out. We have Peter on every week. And I want to talk to Peter about the election and his view on where the night went, and just on the view of what the industry is all about, and also on the Cardinals and Dolphins. We do have to work some football in there. The Cardinals are going to be without Devon Kennard. They're going to be without Byron Murphy. Tua wasn't good last week. What does Peter think about that matchup? And then Goody will join us a little bit later on. Bill Goodykunz from AZ Central. That is all straight ahead. Stay with us. And now, as promised, Peter King, Football Morning in America, the Peter King podcast. Who do you have coming up first on the podcast? And then we'll get into things.
I got Mike Tirico this week, and I got a really interesting guest, Tyler Tynes of The Ringer. He wrote a great story last week about the problems and the sort of artificial roadblocks that exist to black coaches. And he, you know, he told the story in a really interesting way. Usually stories like this, they might center around Eric Bieniemy or Byron Leftwich or whoever, you know, black coaches in the league who are prominent and people talk about a lot, Todd Bowles. But what was so interesting about this story is that he went to college football, and he went to the Mountain West Conference and to the Pac-12, and he found coaches who'd just been buried there for a long time. And it's just, you know, who knows? I don't have any idea. I don't even know who these people are. And I don't mean to say that in a flippant way, but I'm not making any value judgment on whether these guys are getting jobbed. I'm just simply saying they think they're getting jobbed, and there is a lot of them out there. So anyway, it was just an interesting way to tell the story. So he came on. Tirico was really good about COVID and about Clemson and about Trevor Lawrence. He's doing the Notre Dame Clemson game on Saturday from South Bend. And we just had a really interesting discussion about a lot of things. So it's a fun pod.
No, that's good. That's good. It's Peter King podcast. Make sure that you check it out. I have to ask you, from a journalist point of view, when you see what's going on with the election, as we're recording this, and this will play later today, what do you make out of just journalism and when people say that it's not necessary, and how right now it's as necessary as ever? Not that it's never not been, but how things have been handled here in the last 24 hours.
Well, I suppose that what I would really like to see, honestly, is I think this cycle, and really going back to 2015, 2016, it has shown that we have a need in this country for non-advocacy journalism. And the problem, I believe, is that I think Wolf Blitzer is absolutely tremendous. I think Chris Wallace is absolutely tremendous. But the problem is everybody on the left thinks that Fox News, and with a lot of good reason, you know, is a part of the huge problem in the country. And a lot of people on the right believe that CNN is part of the problem. And I think one of the reasons is because of nighttime TV. And because everybody views that, okay, Fox is far right, CNN is left. And look, we could debate that all day, but my issue is, my wife and I, about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, started watching the PBS NewsHour with Judy Woodruff. And one of the things that I like about it is they tell us what happened that day, period. And again, look, I don't think that Lester Holt and the NBC Nightly News are slanted either way. But the only thing I'm saying is that, you know, I think we need a major network. If it's PBS, it's fine. Just fund the tar out of it so that they could do reporting like that all day, every day. And they don't have any commentators. All they have is, here's what happened today, and you make a judgment. Like, you know, when we see Donald Trump in the wee hours of the morning just say, call the election, yeah. It's rigged, all that other stuff. Somebody needs to come out and say just basically that, okay, people who voted, their votes need to be heard. Everybody settle down. Thursday night, maybe, or whatever, maybe earlier than that, maybe tonight, I don't know, we'll have a winner. But I just think we have gotten to the point, and look, Brad, you know, in this business, and I don't know. I've read things about it, but you know, advertisers want to advertise, a lot of them, on Sean Hannity's show, and advertisers, a lot of them, want to advertise on Rachel Maddow's show, mm-hmm. And so I think we understand why this is happening. But I just think the most valuable thing in this country right now, the best resource would be a highly rated news program that goes on all evening. And that's all it is. You don't have the advocacy shows, but that's just my thought.
Well, the opinionists, that's where we are in the industry. And when I do deep dives on media stuff along with sports, it's just how I've been wired through the years. It doesn't matter if I was doing traditional radio on the San Diego Chargers radio network or sitting next to you in a press box when we first met with the Arizona Cardinals when they were the Phoenix Cardinals. Our industry has changed in sports. And if you're not saying what people want to hear rather than what they need to hear, then you're considered on the outside. So people like myself, I would even say you with Football Morning in America, where you just say, I'm going to go do my thing. And I don't have as many people to report to, if any people to report to. And I'm going to see what it is like out there. And I'm going to go, in my case, self-fund and have people that will say, 9 years into this, we want to write you checks because you're not sitting there sugarcoating one way or leaning another. That's just in sports, Peter. So I feel like what we're seeing on the news cycle has happened in sports to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think that I think you can see it when you see very opinionated people like Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless are making millions of dollars.
Millions, yeah.
Skip Bayless can say that LeBron James is an average player, whatever. I don't really follow Skip, but it's hard to ignore, you know, some of the ways that he says that LeBron James can't shine Michael Jordan's shoes. Or whatever it is. And so that is the kind of stuff that gets people's blood boiling so much that then people want to watch Skip to excoriate him and to really be critical of him. And they want to see what he says next. Same way with Stephen A. And look, that's just the way our world is right now. I do have some opinions in my column. And some days I will say, hey, you know, I don't want to be too anecdotal, but Lamar Jackson, he's got to win the big games, period. Mm-hmm. He's not doing that. In his three biggest games this year, he has been absolutely 20 degrees south of Andy Dalton. You know, I mean, he's been awful. And so, but most of my column is a reporter's column. And there's some opinion in there, but not a lot. But I think the biggest thing, Brad, is that I do think there's a lot of people, there are a lot of people out there who can be swayed. You know, like I think of probably a lot of people in South Florida who are very, very emotional when they hear the word socialism or communism because they come from countries where there were repressive regimes. Mm-hmm. They hear Donald Trump say Joe Biden is a socialist, and over and over and over again they hear that. And the problem is that not necessarily whether it's true or not, but if something is put into your head over and over and over again and you don't take the time necessarily to go read deeply about Joe Biden, and you find out, you know, he's really not a socialist, but kind of the damage is done. And so I think a lot of what happened in this election, when it is deconstructed, and whoever wins, I think some of the voting, Donald Trump has proven in his stump speeches and his election speeches that the truth is not as important as what you can make people believe.
No, that's right. And I think when Biden came out here, and now that Arizona has flipped to blue, there will be people that will look back on the number of appearances that both sides made and the number of claims and showing up unmasked in the middle of when the pandemic was at its highest out here and how that really played. Peter King with us, Peter King Podcast, Football Morning in America. Let's talk some football on the field. You have the Cardinals taking on Tua and the Dolphins. Tua comes in here not putting up great numbers last week, but a huge win for Coach Flores. At the same time, the Cardinals will not have Devon Kennard. They will not have Byron Murphy because of COVID-19. Looks like a really interesting opportunity for Tua this Sunday. What do you make out of the Dolphins in this matchup, Peter?
And I watched an awful lot of the Dolphins game. Tua was not good in that game. Mm. And but I still think, first of all, I do think it was smart to make the quarterback change. You know that there is a ceiling here. We might have even talked about it last week. I've talked about this with a lot of people recently. But with Ryan Fitzpatrick, there's a ceiling right here. And Tua, because of his mobility, has got this ceiling up here. Now, if he plays two or three more games like that, my feeling is, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick will probably be reinserted at some point by Brian Flores, because, look, Brian Flores is like Belichick. I love it when I hear people say, well, now he's gone to Tua, he can't go back to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, does Ryan Fitzpatrick have some terrible disease that he can't go back and play football anymore? No, he's getting paid now to be the number two quarterback, but that doesn't mean he won't be number one at some point. I'll tell you what you're going to see, Brad. I am seeing the rise, the birth, the very young adolescence of an excellent defense in Miami. They played the Rams great the other day. The Rams didn't know what hit them. It reminded me of watching Tampa Bay against Aaron Rodgers, where Aaron Rodgers at one point, Matt LaFleur got him out for his own good, because they were doing so much to frustrate him, Todd Bowles' scheme, and plus young players, really good young players, you know, like Devin White, the middle linebacker, it just totally confused him. And I think it's the same thing. Watch Christian Wilkins, you know, the Clemson kid, in the middle of that defensive line. He was a force the other day. Their front seven just smothered the Rams. So that, to me, is the key for the Cardinals this weekend. Find a way to protect your quarterback and to give your running game a chance to let your quarterback have some breathing room. That, to me, is the key game. I don't think the Dolphins are going to put up a lot of points, but I think Arizona is going to have to solve the pressure that Kyler Murray is going to see from that front.
We'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insight. As always, Peter, stay well. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Take care.
There is Peter King, Peter King Podcast, Football Morning in America. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, Bill Gutekunst joins us now. AZ Central, he is freshly showered. He is freshly shaved. He has Diet Dr. Pepper in him. We're talking off the air that you have a few hours. Is you've been covering politics? Yeah, if it stays, right?
Hope it stays in me, the Diet Dr. Pepper. Yeah. Once right. On Tony Fimino's show, I burped out loud. So
did you? Yeah. You can do it on mine. I love Tony. So you can.
Tony's a great guy. He did not love that.
He did not love that. All right. How many elections have you covered?
In this manner of speaking, yes. For writing about media, I started in 2000. This is my 20th year doing it.
Okay.
Before that, you know, I covered City Hall and I covered the County Commission and stuff. You know, so I've, obviously I covered elections then, but in a different way.
When you're covering a national election, not to say that there weren't important races last night here in state, because there were with McSally, obviously. But when you're in a space where you're covering it nationally, how do you go about trying to do your thing when you're waiting on Michigan and Wisconsin to get figured out? I mean, take me through last night. Were you in the office? Were you at home? How'd you do it?
I was at home for the first, not the first time, but I'll start with this. The newsroom, as you know, whether it's TV, whether it's newspaper, wherever, radio, wherever it is, there's no better place to be than a newsroom on election night.
Yeah.
And it's changed over the years because you get results more quickly, usually. Somebody doesn't have to march down to the county recorder's office and get numbers and stuff. But it's just fun. It's exciting. I wrote a thing after the 2016 election. I had all these people telling me, but there was a lot of crying in your newsroom, you know, when Trump won. And I wrote this thing. They said, that's not how it works. I mean, you're so busy doing your work. I mean, and everybody was surprised in 2016. Everybody had to retool, not just us, but everybody. I mean, we were busy. Nobody was sitting around crying. This time, we had a little more warning because of 2016 and because of what the pandemic did to increase early voting and mail-in voting. Everyone, with one notable exception, has said from the beginning that we're not going to know anything on election night. We just aren't, which is not unusual. I mean, in 2000, right, obviously, we didn't know. In 2004, we didn't know until, you know, fairly late in the evening, early in the next morning. It's almost never called by midnight Eastern time, no matter how big, just because, you know, you got to kind of make sure you got everything in line. So it's almost never called on election night. But this time was the suspicion was that it would take even longer just because of this massive number of votes that is coming in. I think, am I right on this, that I think more people voted absentee in Arizona this year than voted in full in 2016?
Full. Yeah. That's what I've heard.
So that stuff takes a long time to count. So you knew that going in. And I have to say this. I've written in the last 12 hours, I've written four columns.
And they're all doing well, I would think. They're all... Yeah.
Oh, so I'm doing better than others. I wish they'd all do great.
You're getting crushed, but it's fine.
I will say that it's hard to make a dent on a day like today, but some of them are doing pretty well. But the first couple were kind of tough because they're sort of a work in progress. You know, it's hard to write about how the networks covered the election because they're treading water for so long. They don't have results, or they have partial results, and I don't know what I thought John King was the best of anybody on any network. He was there at his big magic board, and what he did that was so good, and they all did this to some extent, but he just hammered it home every time he was on. He provided context. He said, "I'm showing you this map, but it's going to change, and don't think it's strange that it changes. It's not. That's how it's supposed to be." And then what he also had to do was calm down Wolf Blitzer, who evidently, although he's covered way more elections than I have, seemed to forget that all the results don't come in at one time. He was like, "Oh, look, Florida's changing." And then John King would say, "Now, Wolf, that's expected. We thought that this was going to happen. This is going to happen in every state." But I thought that it was just kind of going along and going along. And then all of a sudden, there's this thing on Fox News with Arizona, and Fox News before any other network called Arizona for Joe Biden and also called Kelly,
which is remarkable given the leanings. Wouldn't have expected that. Yeah.
Right. And given the leanings, if you recall in 2012, Karl Rove fought against them calling Ohio for Obama, mm-hmm. so much so that Megyn Kelly did her then famous walk down the hall to the data, the decision desk, where they explained why they did what they did. Different people at Fox now. Brett Baer and Martha McCallum weren't quite having it, and they actually put the head of the data desk or the decision desk on the air, and he was great. I hope that he becomes the sort of unexpected
what's his name,
hero
Bill?
Of this.
Because I saw him. I saw him too.
He's got an unusual first name.
Yeah.
But he's just a goofy little numbers guy that was great on TV.
Yes.
Because he was. I hope he becomes the sort of. There's always somebody in an election year that like you don't expect to become the kind of the media star. I hope it's him. Yeah. Because he was, they kept asking, Bear kept saying, are you sure about this? Are you 100% sure about this? And every time he was adamant, he was like, absolutely. And he explained it. He explained why. And he knows who the audience is. He kept saying, I'm sorry. You know, and at one point he said, I know Trump is mad, but he did not back down. And then later the AP called it for Arizona. And then you know, everybody called it for
right.
Arizona. Eventually he was proven right, so far as we know. But
there's no Adrian Wojnarowski. There is no Adam Schefter. There's no Chris Mortensen when it comes to this stuff. And they're not having picks tipped off. They're not saying, here's what they're going to do because 5 minutes earlier, we know.
Well, there is a little bit, but not with something like that. Like Chris Wallace, who I think does a really good job on Fox News, he was saying, like, you know, Biden's going to speak and here's what he's going to say. There's stuff like that, but you can't predict because nobody knows, you know, they don't know how it's going to come out. So then I thought, well, finally now I've got sort of an interesting story and that, you know, that the Arizona becomes this big, this sort of bargaining chip in this argument on Fox News. And then I thought, that's when I thought I could have dinner. And then,
and that was at about midnight.
Yeah. And then,
Trump said what he said at 2 a.m.
Trump came on and they kept saying, the thing was, he was supposed to say it much earlier. And if you wonder if he's still sort of de facto programming the networks, yes, he is, because all the networks showed an empty doorway waiting for Trump to come out while they talked, you know, kind of a split screen deal. And he came out and there was all this talk of like, well, maybe they're trying to calm him down. Maybe they're trying to, because he was evidently ticked about the Fox News thing. And understandably so. I mean, I can understand why he was, but but the people were surmising that maybe they're trying to calm him down. Maybe they're trying to keep him from, you know, going off and doing something insane. And then he gets out there and he starts out slow and he gets rolling and then he does it. And he contests the election. He says it's a fraud and he says that he will take it to the Supreme Court to stop. He said to stop voting. He clearly meant to stop counting votes. But what was also clear that he meant was, he only wants to stop counting votes in states where he's winning. He wants them to keep counting votes in states where he's losing, like Nevada and Arizona. And it was, I wrote a column this morning. It's that weird thing where it was shocking by any measure, yet not unexpected. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but it's just the way it is. It's like you think it's going to happen. You can't believe it's going to happen, and then it does. And it's sort of like if you have a relative who's been sick. I hate to say this, but you know, if you've had a relative who's been sick for a really long time, and then you know they finally die. It's not a surprise, but you're sad. You know, it's still a surprise. What we were seeing could be a death. It could be the death of like democratic process if he gets his way.
But it's like I'm looking over at the screen right now, and the Dow is up 748 points. And you wouldn't think that would be the case on a day like today. You wouldn't
with all the uncertainty.
Sure. And so you have that's playing into it. You have the if Biden does finish this off, and it does, and it gets contested, and Trump still is showing the door that Trump could come back in 4 years because he's going to say didn't go my way, and he'd be the same age as Joe Biden, and so there's that side of it. I voted yesterday morning. I stood out in the line, and clearly I had my way of thinking, and I was one of the very few that had my way of thinking, and it was great. It was a great experience. I think Arizona cleaned up their act when it came to voting this year. I think that story hasn't been told yet, because obviously when you have what's going on with Trump, that story's not gonna be told, but we've been laughed at here in Arizona for how we can't get voting right.
We got it. We're getting it right this time. And one thing that we were a national story. Every network.
Yes.
It was looking to us. We're not Michigan. We're not, you know, we're not Pennsylvania. We don't have the electoral votes to for that kind of clout. But I guess Michigan we do. But it was nice to hear everybody say they've been doing this for a long time in Arizona. They should be able to get it pretty quickly, and they should be able to get it right.
Yeah.
Thought that was, I tell you, you know, my, this is funny. My daughter teaches school in Dallas. She teaches fourth graders. And she said that this morning, one of the kids said, "So who's president?" And she said, "We don't know yet." And he says, "So we're left with a cliffhanger."
Leave it to a fourth grader. That is great. So what will the rest of, and I'll let you go off this, but what does the rest of your day look like for you in a journalist spot looking at this, and this is your deal. This is your, you've already written four columns. What's the rest of your day look like?
I have a nap. Maybe walk around the block or something. I went for my run though this morning. I'll continue to monitor it. I honestly don't see how anything's going to get called. Nevada's already said we ain't updating until Thursday. You know, we'll see you on Thursday. We're just going to sit here and count votes. Leave us alone. Michigan has said they don't. You know, they don't know that maybe by the end of the day, maybe they'll have some clarity. And Pennsylvania has basically said maybe Friday. You know, we'll try to get this done by Friday. So I think there'll be some hemming and hawing, and there'll be I would not be surprised at all if Trump again tries to end the process. If there's a silver lining, it seems like people aren't listening to him, that most people do understand that this does take some time. And now we'll see what happens when lawyers get involved.
Because they're going to get involved. Because they're going to get involved.
They're going to get involved. And so that's involved. A different deal. But it's just, I mean, it's a good story, but it's not a story that's good for us. I mean,
this is a story we don't want. Sure, no, it's. I want you to get back to writing about movies because it means that there's a sense of normalcy, right? And you've been writing about viruses and movies not happening in politics for the last 9 months.
Has it been that long? Yeah. I guess it's.
Yeah. I mean, it's. Middle of March? No, about 8 months. You're about 8 months of just writing about things, and it would be nice to, you know, read a Sean Connery deep dive. But that's, you know, unfortunately, that's not happening. I'll let you go off that. Stay well. Thank you.
Thank you. Talk to you.
See ya. There's Goody. Appreciate Bill jumping on board. Just like that. I think, I don't know about you, if you're really getting into back in your mind of back to normalcy, and it's fine if you are, there's content that's up on the website over at sports360az.com, pro, college, high school. If you just found us for the first time, I've been doing this for a while now, walked away from Channel 3, said I'm not going back to traditional radio, not going to do any of that unless it makes sense. And we do this show. We usually don't do Wednesdays, but today, obviously, a very, very big day. And we'll be back at it tomorrow. This show repeats. If you missed any of Peter King or Goody, the show repeats for the next 24 hours. You can check it out there. And all of our content is online at sports360az.com. We have a TV show over on Fox Sports Arizona. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Have a great day.